you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Nextel, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Nextel, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Week in review time here on Fantasy NBA Today. Happy Friday to you all. We've made it to the end of the third to last week of the NBA season. We are really coming down the chute now. A lot of leagues are done. Many finish up in a couple of days. Many more finish up in a week after that, and a week after that, we're all done. Aww. Sad face. I am, personally, not ready. Not ready for it to be over. I had a blast this year. It's always easier when picks go better. Obviously, this is a more successful year. Not that, you know, the nice thing about having sort of this old man squad level of appeal is that you very rarely have disaster years unless every old dude gets hurt, which kind of happened, what was that, 2-3 seasons back. There was a year where, like, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, and two other old guys were all going near the turn, and they were all just hurt the whole damn year. Maybe it was the season after COVID. That was a tough year to have an old man squad. But otherwise, you know, 9 out of the last 10 years, basically, you go old dudes and you have a really safe floor and you often just get, like, nice quality hits. Well, this year we got some bigger ones, which has been really nice. The guys like Kawhi, Anthony Davis, just wildly outperforming their ADP out of the old man. James Harden, the old man zone. So it's been a fun year and I don't want it to end, but I can't stop the passage of time, try though I might. So we gear up for an off season. I will certainly not be doing two shows every day and something like 11 shows a week. It'll be 5. Monday through Friday, we'll have our off season shows. We'll be breaking down all kinds of fun stuff. Lessons learned from a season gone by, how we did with our rankings, how Yahoo did with their rankings, team reviews. We'll talk about the draft, we'll talk about free agency, and then we hit the real dog days. We're just like, I am out of things to talk about. But we will continue to talk about things even then. That's how I roll, baby. That's how we do it here on Fantasy NBA Today, and that is why I humbly ask you here at the front end to please subscribe to Fantasy NBA Today. And if you could, and I take my phone out here just to make sure everybody, I know exactly what I'm telling everybody to do. Please go into the podcast app on your mobile device and hit the search button. Even if you're already listening to us right now, search for Fantasy NBA. And then Fantasy NBA Today should probably pop up as one of the suggested choices there. And you click on it. And then you click on the show name, not one of the episodes. You click on the show name, which should be the first result. And scroll down, not all the way to the bottom, but most of the way to the bottom. And that's where you can do ratings and reviews. And I haven't really hammered you guys for them that much this year because, I don't know, I had other things on my mind. I wanted subscribers on our YouTube page. There's too many things I'm trying to keep straight. How many promo craps can I do? But I didn't bug you guys very much, and that's why we're still in the 800s on ratings and reviews. So please, if you've been enjoying this show all season, part of the season, last 3 days, whatever it is, please take a second to do those steps I just laid out and drop a 5-star review on Fantasy NBA Today. Here is your Week 23 in review thread. Also graphic. And by graphic, I mean Dan threw it into a Microsoft Word document and then threw that into Read View. I know. I'm all class, baby. One of my projects for this offseason, we'll see how it goes, is to relearn OBS Studio so I can put out a slightly less grainy video feed here on YouTube. But man, StreamYard is so convenient. We're going to cover the stories of the past five-ish days or so. And I want to remind everybody listening that this show will focus on players independent of their current schedule. So do not ask about game volume. Do not ask about streaming. Do not ask about games played. That will be for our other show, which we'll be doing likely in the afternoon. Well, we'll see how long this one takes, where we go through your ads and drops to maximize games played. This is not about that. This is about guys that you can use sort of everydayers versus not everydayers. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Dan Vesperis, D-A-N-B-E-S-B-R-I-S. Ethos Fantasy BK is the basketball feed. We'll be switching that to Ethos Fantasy NBA in the offseason, just to be forewarned on that. And if you're, I probably should have changed the dialogue here, the diction, but like, rate, subscribe, however it is you're taking in this show. If you're watching on Twitter, navigate over to YouTube so you can subscribe, or to iTunes, Spotify, or whatever it is, and I'll be forever grateful. We're going to start with the injury replacements, and I mentioned why we did this pivot last week. The injury replacements coming first is basically so that when you guys don't see the names, these names on the other lists, you won't ask me why. I want to get these out of the way early, so there are no questions why these names are not on the ads or drops or holds or whatever. I tried to cluster some of the guys up near the top that were ads for the rest of the season, where we don't know exactly what their role will be going into next year. It's kind of, I call them the Trey Murphy All-Stars from last season, where it was like, look, I don't know if this guy's actually going to be a fantasy value when his team is fully healthy. I do know he's a fantasy value when someone's down. And that's the case right now for Amen Thompson, who is crushing it since Alperen Şengün went down. Monster league winner type stuff here at the end of the year. Naz Reid with Cat down for the season, also kind of that same general vibe. Those guys are obvious ones. They're ads in every sense of the word. They're play everywheres, but they stay on this injury replacement list until we see them do it consistently when the team they're on is fully healthy. I think we can move through most of these other ones relatively fast, although I'll pause from time to time just to mention if somebody's not a play them all the time guy, but Josh Hart with Julius Randle out every day. Deuce McBride with OG Anunoby out every day. Paul Reed with Joel Embiid out is more, I mean, he technically is hovering around that 100 range, which should make him an everyday guy, but also we've seen the disappearance of scoring. The rebounds are down. The assists were never really all that high, but they're basically gone. Lately, he's pretty much been a smattering of rebounds and then pretty good defensive stats, which I know, I love defensive stats, so it's weird for me to say that that's not enough at times, but it's a little more specialist-y. So if you're playing Paul Reed, understand that that's kind of where he's at right now. Kelly Oubre is back, cursing out referees. It was absolutely hilarious. He got fined $50,000 for doing the half-baked. F you, F you, F you, you're cool, F you, I'm out. Mic drop. And it was so worth it. But Oubre's a play guy. Al Horford, if Boston rests anybody, he's just perpetually here on the injury replacement board. Big Al. Nick Richards, meh. Low-end center, but he's been on this board for 4 months straight now. But Sidney Mitsich with Cody Martin out for the year. That's official. I forgot to change the Cody Martin status to season. But Mitsich is more of an assist stream at this point. And, you know, this is the thing. Like, we get caught up in these, you know, what is a particular category worth kind of thing. I get it. Assists are harder to find and blah, 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 blah. Mitsich is outside the top 200 over the last 2 weeks. 12 points, 5 assists, a ton of turnovers, no threes. No rebounds, a little bit of steal block. Not good enough if you're trying to play him everywhere every day. But if you're looking for five or more assists and you're not super worried about the rest of the stuff he's got going on, then there you go. So he's more of a specialist. Keon Ellis with Kevin Huerter out, who's also a little bit of a specialist, but we saw he can wake up from time to time and give you some points and a couple of boards and a couple of assists. And that's all you really need out of him because, like Paul Reed, he's been awesome on the defensive side. I think I like Ellis a little bit more because the defensive stuff has this insane, insane upper limit to it. Like, we don't really know how high it could go. I do think he's got a little bit pooped, which is, I believe, a medical term. But if you were looking at it, you're like, why is Keon Ellis seem like he's running out of gas? Well, Sacramento played 5 games in 7 nights. So, yeah, some of these guys slowed down. Why do you think they got their butts kicked by Dallas? Kings are going to put on a better fight today, and I expect Ellis to be a part of that better fight. Slow-mo, Kyle Anderson with Karl-Anthony Towns out is, again, I think he's also falls a bit more into that specialist department, at least in my eyes. Last 2 weeks, I think, for slow-mo, he is playable over that stretch. We're talking about like an everydayer, top 75 range, 10-5 and 5.5. With 2.5 defensive stats, it's hard to see the defensive stats staying quite that high. It's hard to see, well, I guess the other stuff, the assists at 5.5 is probably a little bit on the high side, but it's really about the defensive stats. 2.5 of them is probably going to come down. He probably falls back towards the edge of the top 100, which makes him a guy you can play everywhere. But again, with guys in that 100 to 150 range, you really need to be looking at what stats they're good and bad at. That's what those range guys are for this time of year. In November, you just play him. A guy ranked around 100, you just play him in November because he's going to give you a little bit of a bunch of things and maybe not as much of the other things, but you can't fall behind in games played in November. And a guy that gives you enough stuff where the math basically equates that he's a play, then you do it. But this time of year, if it's like, well, okay, what if I don't need steals? Then slow-mo becomes only semi-valuable. What if I don't need assists or steals? Well, there's no point to play him at that juncture. So you know your team better than I do. Guys that have that, 100 range kind of profile are guys where you have to pause and say, do I need what they are giving? Or can I part with them?
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Next, don't give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Next, don't give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Chimezie Metu, who's picked up some really nice minutes with Azar Thompson out for the year in Detroit and Simone Fontecchio out for we don't know how long in Detroit. I remain somewhat skeptical that Metu is going to play 30-some-odd minutes every day, but he's definitely been the best option there lately, and I like his ability to get a few points and some nice rebounds and steals and blocks and doing it on good percentages. There's something there. But I am a little bit hesitant to drop him into a roto lineup without knowing for sure that he's going to get the minutes. If you see he's starting, talking about Metu, then I coin flip it. I really don't want to spend my games cap on a guy who's not going to perform right now. Delino Benton and Tumani Kamara. Kamara's actually out for Portland, so I probably should have thrown an asterisk on his name. But with Simons and Ayton and Sharp and Brogdon and the Wicked Witch and Sasquatch and the Tooth Fairy. Everybody's out for Portland right now. Band's taking 20 shots a ball game, which, you know, bad efficiency be damned. If you're just out there 37 minutes and taking every shot, you're going to have fantasy value unless you're full Russell Westbrook in the percentages, which he's not. He's not good in them, but he's not, you know, Russ Tankia level. And then Kamara, when he's in, has, you know, a little bit of a better fantasy game than Banton does. He's not going to shoot as often, so that caps him out a tad. But those two guys are playable when they're in and everybody else is out. Josh Giddey is your relatively safe SGA replacement. He's got his big fantasy game holes, but he's going to shoot enough and pass enough and rebound enough where he probably overwhelms those. And then I expect Anthony Davis back for this ball game at Indiana for the Lakers, but they're not going to push these guys. The Lakers, I think, are pretty well resigned to the fact that they are in the play-in tournament. The push now for LA would be to try to get into the 7-8 pocket instead of the 9-10. And, you know, they can't really afford to lose any games against teams that are not significantly better than them, and Indiana is not one of those teams. And if you look at the Lakers' upcoming schedule, they've got basically five games in a row coming back from Milwaukee or after Milwaukee, which they won, mind you, but Memphis, Indiana, Brooklyn, Toronto, Washington, Indiana, far and away the best team in that bunch. This is an opportunity for the Lakers to gain ground on the Kings and the Suns. Kings have a tougher schedule by all accounts. They have Utah in there. That's a gimme. But Dallas, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Celtics are the other games coming up for Sacramento. And then we know the Suns, we've talked about it before, they have the toughest schedule in the NBA. They won in Denver, but now they've got the Thunder, although without SGA, so that's helpful for them. Pelicans, Cavs, Wolves, Pelicans again, Clippers twice, Kings and Wolves. There's just no easy game for the Suns. So the Lakers are eyeing, I would think, the 8 seed so that they have kind of two chances at the playoffs, meaning will they push their guys? I know LeBron was like, look, I'm not going to push myself. I can't worry about seeding. But the difference between one and done versus two and done is enormous. So I'd be pretty surprised if Anthony Davis didn't play tonight. But if he doesn't play, that's the big preface to, Rui Hachimura and Jackson Hayes are guys that you should throw into your lineup. See, I got there. I had to slow walk us there, but we got there. And that's your massive injury replacement board. Now let's get to the ads, everybody's favorite part of the day. And I remind you all once again, if you're joining us late, please do take a moment to like, subscribe. I can speak. It's what I do. Subscribe. And please drop that 5-star review today. This is the last 2 weeks of the season. So this is where I'm going to start to come at you with please review stuff. Ads of the week. Max Strus is back and he looks a lot better. He looked frickin' spry in that last ball. And I don't know if that carries over. Maybe he just had a game where he was healthy or he was hitting shots. But it did seem like he needed time off that he wasn't getting. And then he got it. And then I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's a coincidence that he came back from injury and looked healthy. Andrew Wiggins is, I think, addable with Golden State. He's a guy I had more in the doesn't matter group, but he's been playing better than that lately, so we'll upgrade him a click. Marvin Bagley is an add with Rashawn Holmes already ruled out for the Wizards ballgame due to his toe injury. That means it's Bagley or bust at the center spot. He'll probably get 25 to 32 minutes somewhere in that neck of the woods. And yes, though I do not like his fantasy game in general, that is enough time for him to put up some fantasy numbers. And then finally, and he's the picture on the thumbnail this week, Jonathan Isaac. Not a guy you can pick up in head-to-head, because a missed ball game is enough to sink your team. But after today, tomorrow, they only have one more back-to-back the rest of the way. And next week, they got games every other day. So there is a shot that Jonathan Isaac might play all four games next week. A shot, yes, 50-50 shot. Coin flippy. But if we find out which of the two back-to-back games he's playing today, tomorrow, early, you can make a decision then that actually could potentially work out for you on the head-to-head side. Because look, what if Isaac skips today, plays tomorrow? Well, then teams that played today but don't have games the rest of the week, you could pivot into Jonathan Isaac knowing, look, wherever you go, you're turning a zero into a one game rest of the week. Go for a guy who's got this ridiculous appeal for threes and percentages and steals and blocks and some rebounds. Jonathan Isaac belongs on all roto teams right now, unless you don't need any of the like four or five categories he's good at. But let's remember, if the Magic get to a point and they're just like, you know what, let's see if Jonathan Isaac can play 28 minutes and actually play in the next ballgame. What if they gave him 28 minutes one night just to see? It's not going to happen. I don't know why I'm even bringing it up. But man, oh man, oh man. Strong holds is the next category on our board. These are ones, this is now the category that requires the least explanation. Because these are guys that at some point in like the last 2 weeks, I've been asked whether or not you should drop. And this is me saying, nope. Denny Avdija, who has some pretty good efficiency issues, actually. And this is why I was hesitant to draft him at the beginning of the year. He's number 136 on the season. Last 2 weeks, he's number 150. But it's largely because he's going way under on his free throw shooting over that small sample size. He's had a couple of games where he's just been absolute dog do at the foul line. 1-for-3 on March 8th, 4-for-7 on March 12th, 3-for-6 and 1-for-3 on the 23rd and then back on the 21st, respectively. Call it the free throw yips, call it just a weird down tick because maybe he was above his average before that. If you wipe that out over the last 2 weeks, Avdija goes from being sort of not playable to very playable. And you can't just wipe it out. That's not fair because it happened. But understanding that that's not the norm for him, I think is really important because it's small sample size. You know what we're looking at? Last 2 to 3 weeks, he's played in 7 or 8 ball games. He's averaging 19 and 10 with 3 to 4 assists, a steal, a three-pointer, 54% from the field, but he's shooting like 55% at the foul line over that stretch, which is terrible. But also, that's not sustainable. Now, we talk a lot about what is and is not sustainable for a player. Under 60% free throw shooting for Avdija, not a sustainable number. So if he continues to score 19 points and grab 11 rebounds and give you 4 assists and not a lot of defensive stats, but hit a 3-pointer or two and, you know, hopefully like 1 to 1.2 combined defensive stats, and the free throw number gets back where it belongs, near 72, 73, well, then he goes from being number 150 to more like, you know, number 60. It's a big jump right now because of what has unfortunately become kind of a high-volume, terrible foul shooting over the last 2 to 3 weeks. But that's it. As he follows up saying, I don't really need to talk about these players by giving a needlessly long explanation. Trey Mann in Charlotte is playing relatively well right now. He belongs on rosters. Gary Trent Jr. and Kelly Olynyk. Again, this is not a show talking about schedules. I know they're in a bad scheduling spot, but those two guys belong on rosters. I wish Olynyk would stop with the like 4 turnovers a game BS going on lately, because that is artificially depressing his value, because the other stuff is pretty damn good. 12-6-6 with a steal, 0.6 blocks, but 4 turnovers a game. Woo, Kelly, get it together, dude. I know you gotta force it when your teammates all kind of stink, which tank in Toronto. Walker Kessler, there are going to be some people that are dropping him. You should probably pick him up because he's actually getting most games, 23-ish or more minutes. That's good enough. Trey Jones is on a little bit of a cold snap, but he'd been very good for about a month, month and a half straight. And the assist buttress any drop-off in his value. TJ McConnell is just rolling these days. And then Trace Jackson Davis, who got a giant ball game because Draymond Green got ejected. But, you know, he's another guy where... Well, the difference between Trace Jackson Davis and Denny Avdija is that Avdija's going to shoot 70-something percent at the foul line at the end of the day. Jackson Davis is probably going to stay in the 50s. So that's not a thing where you can be like, well, hey, maybe this will level off. It is leveled off. He's a bad foul shooter, Jackson Davis. But if you need those big man stats, then he is a stronghold. And let's pivot into the soft holds, because I think these ones probably require just an extra minute or two of our time. Jonas Valanciunas, who really looked like a drop the game before when he played 10 minutes, but then actually came out yesterday and was a factor, a magical twist. He had 2 turnovers. They were both on illegal screens, if you're wondering how that happened. 17-10, a steal, a block, a three-pointer on positive percentages. That's the Valanciunas that we were looking for, and it only took him 23 minutes to get there. This remains a hard one for me because I don't have Valanciunas anywhere. So to try to put myself in your shoes, I'm doing my damn best, and I think that's why he's a soft hold, because on any given night, he could just get his 20-something minutes again. Bucks are a big team. They play fast sporadically, but when they're in a half court, they play strong ball. And so I think that's part of the reason that New Orleans wanted Valanciunas out there, was someone to just bang into people, especially because their other guys weren't really hitting shots. So they just needed somebody to go get an easy bucket around the rim besides Zion. The Zion versus Giannis free throw off in this ball game was gross. Oof. Zion won it at 63% on high volume. Giannis 46% on high volume. Yucky. DeAndre Hunter. Thank goodness he had a better ball game, because I was having trouble convincing you guys that you had to hang on. He went 0 for 3 at the free throw line. I can't possibly figure out what the hell happened there. But 21-13 with 5 three-pointers. The free throw thing is obviously not something that's going to be a long-term problem. But, you know, there's enough for him to do with Trae Young out and with Jalen Johnson out and with Sadiq Bey out. Team's missing a lot of dudes. GG Jackson is the softest hold recommendation I can possibly offer to you, and it's largely because he's going to be good at scoring, and scoring is extraordinarily hard to find on a waiver wire. There just aren't that many guys that are going to give you between 15 and 22 points on average, and he's probably going to be there because he's taking typically 13 to 19 shots a ball game. Problem is, when they're not going in, he doesn't do anything else. He has 4 steals over the last 3 weeks combined. 3 of them came in 1 outlier ball game. He doesn't pass all that much. 3-1-0, 4-0, 3-3-2-0. Those are the assist numbers. He'll rebound a little bit. He'll get you like 4 to 5 rebounds a game. But it's mostly threes and points on pretty good free throw percent and terrible field goal percent. And so if you catch him on the wrong 2 or 3 game span, which is basically what just happened for GG, his rank falls like a boulder in the ocean. He's back near the edge of the top 300 over the last week because he's shooting a medium volume 35% from the field, and he doesn't do anything besides score. So very soft hold. If you don't need points, abandon ship now. If you do, okay. Santi Aldama, not that dissimilar, although at least he's able to sort of, you know, push his value up from the cellar by getting some blocks, some steals, some boards, things like that. So even over the last week where he hasn't been able to knock down any shots, he's still inside the top 50 because he's at 2.4 defensive stats, 8-plus rebounds, 2-plus assists out of the power forward spot. He's hitting 2 3-pointers a game out of the power forward spot, and he hasn't turned the ball over in a week, basically. So Aldama is a soft hold, but an easier call, I think, than someone like Jackson, just because of what he can do in a few different spots. Grizzlies had a bad schedule to end this week, so he may end up on some waiver wires, but their schedule gets good again next week, so Aldama's a guy you could pick up on, I mean, tomorrow, and then just hold for 8 days if you wanted to, or longer. Then they go off for 2 days, and then they got another back-to-back after that. So you could really hold the Grizzlies, any player on the Grizz, starting tomorrow through the end of the year. Because what's that, 16 days? They got 9 games over 16 days. It's not great, but it ain't bad. And if you wait 2 days, then you get 8 games over 14 days, which I think that's that'll play. Jalen Suggs, is it one or two bad ball games in a row? It's hard for me to keep everything in my head without a browser tab open. I think it's two bad ones in a row, although he played 36 minutes in one of them. Really, the most recent game was the only one where you're like, oh no, what the hell happened there? Let's give him another one or two. He'd been playing pretty well before that. You know, when he runs cold, it really cools off quick. I feel like he still is one of those guys that kind of sees the finish line. And so then you get that push forward. He's also in a situation where, actually, they got a back-to-back starting today, so Suggs is in a pretty damn good spot. They go 10 times over the last 17 days to end the year, so you can just pick him up and ride him out in head-to-head. Roto, I probably bench him. Keyonte George, you got to be stat-hunting here, because, again, there just isn't a bottom. There's no floor. Number 250 over the last week. Medium volume, 31% from the field. At least with Keyonte, he gets you assists. So he'll score and he'll pass. You have two things you can lean back on. Free throw percent is pretty good. Soft hold for points, assists, and free throw percent on Keyonte George. But right now, he's doing so much more damage than good.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Stone, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? X-Stone, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So if you dropped him, I don't even care. I dropped him in a couple of spots. I don't need those stats all that bad, and I can't afford to lose the other ones. Isaiah Hartenstein is a soft hold. I just don't know what's going to happen with him with Mitchell Robinson slowly working his way back, but it feels like the Knicks have played so well with Hartenstein in there, and Robinson is going to be brought along slowly, that there's probably a little more runway on the iHeart freight train. He did a very funny podcast with all the Villanova guys. I don't remember what it's called. Just talking about actually his race. So you guys should go check it out. The Those Knicks guys are absolutely hilarious, and the podcast discussion was illuminating and entertaining. But anyway, soft hold, and then Dennis Schroeder is a pretty easy one. He's playing well, and the Nets have a couple guys out, so pretty easy call there. And finally, the I'm scared or nervous or dropping list. Five names on it. Malik Beasley is an I'm nervous guy, or a pre-drop, if you wanted to call it that, with Chris Middleton and Giannis both healthy. But he's hot, so this feels like sort of a weird time to say you must drop. He will be one soon, but he's also on the best two-game run he's had since mid-February, so over a month. Still, it's hard to know with Beasley. Sometimes these heaters last for 5-6 ball games in a row. Not that he was like freezing cold before that or anything, and he's having a career best year in a lot of ways. And you know, scheduling, I know we said we're not going to talk about scheduling, but scheduling wise, they're in a good spot. So you could probably hang on a little bit longer, but as soon as he cools off, even the tiniest bit, yeah, get the hell out of there. Corey Kispert is probably a guy that I should just drop on the injury replacement board at this juncture. He's a guy who's going to get a bunch of stuff to do when Kyle Kuzma's out. That's what we've seen this year. Definitively, whether he's hot or cold, that's what locks in his consistent value. Aaron Nesmith, he's a drop. Bruce Brown is a drop. Chris Paul is really not more than a specialist at this point. He's number 87 for the year, so I get it. We've got it. Other than the injury, overall this year it's been fine. But the last week he's number 240, and he's only playing 21 minutes over that stretch. Shooting poorly, assists are down, steals are down. We're so close to the end of the year that even if you dropped him and suddenly he had like two or three good games, it's not like you're missing a long run of a proven asset at this point. It's been a perfectly fine year for him, but he's now vanished, and we have to react in the moment to that. So as much as I love Chris Paul's fantasy game, I'm totally fine if you guys want to move on. I don't see any reason why you absolutely positively must hang on to Chris Paul right now. I know, that probably freaked you guys out, but I said it out loud and I meant it. The watch list. This is a quick one. Dylan Brooks is on the watch list in case he more consistently takes 14-15 shots. Jake LaRavia, I don't think he's getting there. John Conchar and Luke Kennard in case either one of them can actually get and stay healthy for the Grizzlies, because I truly believe that if either one of them gets healthy and stays healthy and the other one isn't that, then that one that is healthy is the guy that you could probably start every day. Keep an eye on Alexei Pokuševski. I think you're going to have to see a couple guys, maybe one more at least. Maybe like a Miles Bridges would have to get sat down by the Hornets for Poku to see more than about 22, 23 minutes a game. And we're going to need more than that. But he has a very unique fantasy game, and he looks a little bit like the game is slowing down a tiny bit for Poku. And then Mitchell Robinson is a watch list, or if you really wanted to, you could roto stash him. But again, there's 2 weeks left in the season, so I don't know how long you can hang on to a guy before it becomes, just a little bit silly. Quick look at the chat room. I do see a number of posts there. So hello, everybody. Happy Friday to the four of you that basically are saying hello at the beginning. And then a you're welcome to those that are thanking. Any surprise sit-outs for tonight from Fari Gutierrez? None yet. None yet. Cade and Jaden Ivey were present at shoot-around, so I'm going to assume they're in for Detroit. Donovan Mitchell was at shoot-around for Cleveland. He was targeting a return to the lineup tonight, so that's seems like it's going to happen. Ochai Agbaji has already been ruled out for Toronto. Marcus Sasser downgraded to questionable with an illness for Detroit, but I mean, you weren't playing his butt anyway. And Caris LeVert just got downgraded to questionable due to a sore wrist, but with Donovan Mitchell back, he wasn't a guy you were playing either. So in terms of the news of the morning, not much. Not much. Is Damian Lillard a top 10 pick next year? No, and I don't think he was a top 10 pick this year. He was a guy that I thought was going to go. And this is the thing, like, we do this every year and we talk ourselves into it. There was absolutely no way that Dame was going to do as much in Milwaukee as he did in Portland? None. No chance. Zero. 0% chance. And this always happens where we back ourselves into like, well, what if the efficiency does this? Or what if the assists do this? Or blah, blah, blah. No. When a superstar joins an equally high usage guy, 9 times out of 10, they take a hit. The question is just how much. I thought Dame was a very safe early second round pick, and that's basically where he's been at this year. He's a mid-second rounder on a per-game basis who's been largely healthy, so he's number 12 by totals. Great. If you got him early second round, you should be totally satisfied. But there was this weird move, I think, late in the draft season where people were like, you know what, maybe Dame will be a first-round guy. Maybe something will figure itself out. No, we got to stick to the damn odds on, and Jess, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling at the concept in general, where we had too much time to think about the Dame trade, and we've had too much time, I'm trying to think about other ones in the past, DeJounte Murray joining up with Trae Young. It was always going to be this way. Now, Trae's been out for a few weeks, so Murray's been taking every shot on planet Earth and rocketing himself into our hearts. He's up to number 31 now, and he's been super healthy, so that's good. But I'm thinking more of even last year when the trade first went down. DeJounte Murray was a first-rounder in San Antonio, and we all kind of backed ourselves into this thought of like, I don't know if you guys remember this, not this draft season, but the previous one, when DeJounte Murray got traded. So he was listed as a first-rounder on pre-rank, and then he got traded, and he got dropped all the way down into the 30s, which, interestingly, ended up being the right move. And then everybody was like, nah, that's too far. And then he bounced up into the teens, and then he bounced back down into the 20s, and he really just sort of pendulum swung his way between that first round and third until he landed at, like, number 20. Which is not insane, by the way, but it's that kind of phenomenon where we had so much time during draft season 2 years ago to be like, well, maybe DeJounte's going to be better here, or maybe he's going to be worse there. And he just bounced back and forth almost indefinitely until finally the season just started and his ADP couldn't bounce around anymore because nobody was drafting. But that's what happens when guys join, when ultra-high usage guys join other ultra-high usage guys, they take a hit. That's just how it works. I love Kevin Durant. He's having a great year. But he's number 10 this year. And it's not because he's doing something like obscenely different than last year. In fact, his numbers are honestly, by and large, relatively similar. He was at 29-7-5 last year. This year he's at 28-7-5. Defensive stats are about the same. I think his free throw is down for KD. And he's one of the rare dudes who doesn't usually take the big hit when he joins up another superstar because he remains kind of alpha level and his percentages are outstanding and blah, blah, blah. And like Devin Booker didn't take much of a hit, but what happened to Bradley Beal? 102. 14 shots a game. Even when he's been healthy, he hasn't been that involved. Someone always takes a hit, especially when there's three of them. That was a pretty easy one to see coming. Beal taking the hit, not KD or Booker. KD and Book pretty much did what they did. And the fact that that team also thinned out, there's like nobody else on the team besides those three guys. When stars come together, someone drops. Especially if they are, in the case we're talking about here, Dame and Giannis. Guys that, it's not like a big and a little. Those are ball in hand players. Play the odds is what I'm saying on this one. I need a center if Ayton is still out. Who do I like best between Andre Drummond, Duop Reith, or Wendell Carter Jr. in a points format? Probably Wendell Carter Jr. in a points format. Talking from a strictly 9-category sense, isn't Klay Thompson also kind of a doesn't-matter player, ranked 112 for the season, 115 for the last 2 months? Yeah. So it's been this is a good question, actually. Clay's been an interesting one because he's had such an up and down season, extraordinarily slow start. Then he got going a little bit, and then he tapered off again. And then he moved to the bench where he had a couple of big ball games, and then he slowed down a little bit, and now he's back in the starting lineup. He is above a doesn't matter player. Albert, great question. Because of one idea, and the idea is his floor is doesn't matter level. He was basically operating at his floor for most of the season. But we know enough about Clay to know that if he just gets like one more shot a game, or the field goal percent ticks up like one percentage point, then he's immediately above that level. So what I need now, I probably need to even break down my categories a little bit further. There's the doesn't matter guys who basically have no prayer of ever getting out of that range. And then there's the doesn't matter guys who are a little bit better. The guys that you hold on the hope that they have a couple good weeks and then suddenly they're number 90 or 85 instead of landing at 115. And right now with Clay coming back into the starting lineup, he's top 60-something over the last 2 weeks. So there's that doesn't matter, and then there's that upside built in. What's our plan with Scoot Henderson? I have no plan with Scoot. I haven't had him all season long, and I don't ever want point guard or guard rookies. It's just an absolute disaster almost every time. Some guys figure it out in the second half, but Scoot missed a bunch of time in the first half of the year, so he's still kind of on that learning curve. Portland's schedule also stinks to high heaven this week before it gets okay again. I mean, like, if you really want to get their 8 games over the last 2 weeks, head-to-head side, you could, but he's going to probably do more damage than good. I got Haliburton in 3 of my 5 teams. I got him at pick 6 or 7, which I thought were steals back then. Where do you think he'll go next year? I think he'll go in that same range because he was awesome until he got hurt, and he just hasn't been the same guy since. He's still number 11 on a per-game basis overall. But you've seen the field goal percent drop, you've seen the steals drop, you've seen the scoring drop. I personally don't think Haliburton ever really got fully healthy again, so he'll go mid-first round again next year. Do I think OG Anunoby and Santi Aldama are a drop? I talked about Santi already. To say he's trending down after Clark came back, I think might be a bit premature. He was trending down because he just got colder, but he's doing other stuff right now. So I'm holding Santi a little bit longer. He's a soft hold. OG Anunoby, if you're in the playoffs, is a drop because we don't know when he's coming back. If you can stash him, obviously you stash him. And then is Joel Embiid able to come back and play next week? I think the hope is yes. If you've made it this far, you might as well just keep going. You've held him for, 7 weeks? And now it's like, oh, he's close. Well, he's doing stuff at practice. I don't know what that means for... what is he going to do, play 19 minutes? Well, 19 of Embiid is better than 35 of a lot of these dudes. And finally, would you consider streaming if your worst players are Io Desunmu, Jalen Suggs, and Daniel Gafford? Yes, I would stream the Jalen Suggs spot. And that is our Week in Review episode. I think I'm going to do the streaming show in a little bit. I think I need to get up and move around. Yeah. Plus, I'd like to wait and see who gets ruled in and ruled out. Maybe we'll get some more injury news over the next 2 to 2.5 hours. And we will do our injury streamer show, our head-to-head whatever, right after my lunch. That'll be the target time. So thank you guys for listening here on the first half of our Friday twofer. I think that schedules should, because it's Easter weekend, and as you guys know, we're a Jewish household. We don't have much going on this weekend. So I think I should be able to do some streaming shows Saturday and Sunday. Stay tuned on those. Like, rate, subscribe, please, please. If you guys are new this year, if you haven't rated the podcast, I really need those 5 stars. It works wonders for keeping us kind of high on the iTunes board. So please take a second. If you want to write something cool, if you don't even have the time for that, it should take you all of 20 seconds. If you want to write something, it'll take you 40. And yeah, that means the world to me. I hope you guys are enjoying the start of baseball. This is a great time of year. Basketball and baseball running at the same time. It's my favorite. Those are my two sports. Fantasy basketball more than... Okay, I don't play fantasy baseball all that seriously. I do have one free team, and I drafted exclusively with our live draft tracker tool with like no knowledge of anything else. Very interested to see how that goes. Thank you to everybody that got involved on the premium side, on the baseball stuff as well, and All Sport. You guys are the reason that we can keep Sports Ethos alive, because the ad dollars from podcasts, believe me, don't handle it all by themselves. Have a great couple of hours. I'll see you guys in just a little bit. We'll break down some teams. Again, I'm at Dan Bashbriss. I'll see you soon.
That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.